Good evening, one. It's great to see you here this evening. My name's Tim. I'm one of the leaders here at the church. I just want us to spend a few moments just focusing in a little bit on this story that we've been reading. So I'm just going to read from Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. You would have heard these couple of verses already read this evening. It says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for every person in this room. And Lord, we thank you for the reason that we're here, and that's because of Jesus. This Christmas, Lord, would you speak to each one of us, I pray. Amen. The visit of the Magi. Sounds familiar? You'll probably know the story. We're just going to watch a little clip to remind you. This is from the film The Nativity, and this should remind you if you've forgotten about this very famous story.
Greatest of kings, born in the most humble of places. God made into flesh.
Gift of myrrh to honor thy sacrifice.
I want this evening for you to think about a question, and it's this: do you think it's surprising that the birth of a baby, this baby Jesus, 2,000 years ago, can result in you and I being here tonight? Do you think that's surprising? Do you think that's strange? You may have all sorts of reasons why you think you're here tonight. But the truth is, if it wasn't for the birth of this baby, none of us would be here, because this service wouldn't be happening. If it wasn't for that event 2,000 years ago, we wouldn't be here. Wow. Personally, I think that's extraordinary. That something so long ago can have an impact, even right now, on us. And it makes me think that there must be something hugely significant about that birth. There must be, mustn't there? Something extraordinary about it. One of the things I love about Christmas is the surprises we sometimes get. I can remember the first time that I put one of these things. You know what this is? It's a sock, isn't it? It was just a normal sock I put at the end of my bed. I was told that if I did, then it might get filled with something. Something might happen to it. And I put it out. And the next morning, I couldn't believe my eyes. This ordinary sock had become full of good things. It's amazing. I still put a sock out. A familiar thing, like a sock, transformed into something amazing. And maybe Christmas for you is a familiar thing. And my prayer tonight is that Christmas wouldn't just be a familiar thing, but it would be something that is transformed into something more wonderful and more amazing than you can possibly imagine. That we might see the surprise, the drama, and the wonder, and ultimately the meaning of that first Christmas. So for the next couple of minutes, I want to look again at this birth. We're going to look at a very familiar part of the story. The Magi, the wise men, coming to Jesus to worship him, to present gifts. But there's many surprising things with this familiar story. I want to just look at two of them. The first one is this, these surprising visitors. It's the Magi themselves. Look, verse 1 of that reading I just read. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Magi came. Who were the Magi? It may surprise you that we don't really know. We don't know if they were kings, even though we sing, "We Three Kings." We don't know if they were men or women. We don't know how many they were. Some people think there were three because there were three gifts, but we're not told there's three of them. We don't know their names. I think it was the 8th century in the Western Church started calling them Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But the Eastern Church give them different names. And Chinese Christians believe that one of the Magi was from China. We know there was a tribe of priests from Persia called the Magi. But the word has actually been used as well to refer to all sorts of other people as well. Who were they? Well, it's likely that they were from that tribe. But we don't know. And actually, it doesn't really matter. Because their importance lies not in who they were, but more in who they weren't. Because what we do know is that they didn't come from Israel. They didn't come from this sort of elite religious people. They weren't part of the established church. They weren't part of the traditional people of God. These weren't church folk. They weren't local. Perhaps you're here tonight and you don't see yourself as a church person. Well, you're in good company. With the Magi, they're not church people. They're, verse 1, from the east. They're from the east. Probably came over a great distance. And this is part of the surprise, because somehow we've got into our thinking that Christianity is a Western religion. It's often referred to as a Western religion, or a religion for a certain type of people. And that is not what we see in the Bible. Jesus is born, and God reveals it to unlikely people far away. The Magi show that Jesus isn't for a certain type of person, a particular class, a particular nationality or people or age group, but that this Jesus born in Bethlehem is actually for all people. That's why, one of the reasons we had those people reading in different languages. That's why the angel comes and says, "I bring you good news of great joy for all people." Jesus is for everyone, even for you and I tonight. And God goes to extraordinary lengths to make this point. How did the Magi get to Bethlehem? So you think, cast your mind back 2,000 years, if you can sort of try and picture the scene. There's no internet, no phones, no way of communicating quickly over a long distance. I know that when my children were born, I have two children, after their birth, we phoned people, and then people came. We would have been surprised if three strangers, or however many there were, suddenly turned up and said, "Wow, great news about this baby. We've come to visit. We've come to see you." That didn't happen. And yet these people, these Magi, they come from far away. Babies are being born everywhere, all the time. What causes them to focus in on this baby? Well, verse 2, they say this. "We saw his star in the east." A star appears. It goes ahead of them. It guides them. We don't exactly know what it looked like, but we know that it was an event so extraordinary that it brought them right to the place where Jesus was born. One writer says this: "What is plain concerning this matter of the star is that it is doing something it cannot do on its own. It is guiding Magi to the Son of God to worship him. There is only one person that can be behind this: God himself." So the lesson is plain. God is guiding foreigners to Christ to worship him. And he is doing it by exerting global, probably even universal influence and power to get it done. Jesus' birth was announced in the heavens so that those who were seeking him could find him. And though the Magi were in many ways surprising, there's a key quality that emerges from them. They're looking for him. They're looking for this Jesus, God's Savior, God's rescuer. I don't know if you've come from the east today. It's that way. It doesn't matter what direction you've come from. The key quality about these Magi, about these people, is that they were seeking, they were looking for God's Savior. And the result was, as they looked, they found him. Why seek? Why seek? What's it about this Jesus that draws the wise men and is drawing maybe even us tonight? Well, secondly and lastly, I want us to look at another surprising character, and it's Jesus himself, a surprising king. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Where is he? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him." It's a strange title they give him, isn't it? Where is this one born king of the Jews? If he's king of the Jews, why have the Magi come? What's it got to do with them? What's it got to do with us? Well, the answer is found in the old Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. We're in a time called Advent, and you may have an Advent calendar. My son Joseph has got one, and I didn't tell him I was going to take it, actually, but I have. I've borrowed it. This is his calendar. Lovely, isn't it? It tells the Christmas story, and there's no chocolates in it, unfortunately. In fact, his friend came over the other day, and he was very proud. He loves his calendar. He was very proudly showing it. And this will make sense to some of you. His friend said, "I've got a Ben 10 one with chocolates." And Joseph's face sort of dropped. But the whole point of Advent is actually the story, not the chocolates. Isn't it? Not the chocolates. Don't exchange the story for the chocolates. The word Advent means coming. There is something coming. And every day he opens another window and there's this... It looks like he's opened the last one. But anyway. Every day he opens another window and he finds out a bit more about this story. And this thing that is coming is more wonderful than chocolate. It's more wonderful than anything the world has ever seen. Joseph opens the door every day, finds out a bit more about the story. And the Magi have been reading the same story. The same story that Joseph is reading. But there's a big difference between the Magi reading it and Joseph reading it. Because the amazing thing about the Magi reading this story is that the story the Magi are reading hasn't actually happened yet. It's been told, but it's yet to happen. In the Bible, there's a story told. And the result of that is there is huge expectation about something, or more accurately, someone who is coming. Let me take you to a bit of that story as we close. Jeremiah 23. Hopefully we've got it up on the screen. Oh, fantastic. This is part of the story. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. You see that? I will raise up to David a righteous branch. He's going to be, this king is going to descend from David. David was the greatest king of the Jewish people. That is why you get this title, King of the Jews, because he's going to descend from the Jewish people. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which this king will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Jeremiah, this prophet, writing 600 years or so before Christ, told a story about a king who would come, a king who's going to be like no other king. He's going to be a good king. He's going to reign with justice and goodness. But he's given a name by Jeremiah that is the reason that this king has relevance, not just to the Jewish people, not even just to the Magi, but is the reason that this king has relevance to all people, and is the reason that this king could be the cause of us sitting here tonight. It's the reason this baby has such an impact. And it's this name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. You see the word Lord there. It's not the same word as we sometimes use, like Lord Chief Justice. The word Lord there is in capital letters because it's the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is the name for God himself, the one who created everything. This king who's going to come, who's going to be born, is going to be none other than God himself. This might be surprising to you, but its implication is that Christmas is actually about God entering his world in the form of a baby. The surprising message of Christmas is this: God is real. God is alive. How will you respond to him? The Magi respond to this amazing truth by, verse 2, coming to worship him. But there's a challenge here as well, because they've come looking for a king in a place where there already is a king. In this case, King Herod. And he's not a good king. In fact, you'll know the story. He actually tries to kill Jesus. And like for King Herod, Jesus can present us with a challenge. Because there can be things in our lives that are like kings. Things that we're worshipping that are ruling us instead of him. We get ruled by all sorts of things. It can be parents who rule our lives. It can be a boss who can rule our lives. It can be an addiction that can rule our lives. It could be materialism, stuff, money, things, possessions that rule our lives. It could be another person. But the reality is that those things, compared to Jesus, are terrible kings. Terrible kings, and they result in misery rather than joy. King Herod, he didn't want to know Jesus as Lord. There was only room for one king in Herod's life, and that was himself. Why is that a problem? Well, turn on the TV, open the newspaper, and you see the result of people making themselves king over their own lives. We see war, famine, poverty, family breakup. The list is endless. And those things exist not because there isn't enough in our world, but because we put ourselves first rather than others and rather than ultimately Jesus, the true king. Why does putting Jesus as king solve that? It's because of the kind of king that Jesus is. You see, he isn't a king like Herod who ruled with threat and oppression. He doesn't come to earth to punish us for rejecting him. He arrives in the most vulnerable of forms, a baby. In dramatic contrast to Herod, or even ourselves, Jesus comes and offers the greatest gift of all, the gift of himself. If you remember that clip that we watched at the beginning of the Magi, the last Magi came and said, "I bring myrrh in honor of thy sacrifice." Myrrh was used to embalm dead bodies. It points to Jesus' ultimate gift, his death on the cross, where the King of Kings would sacrifice himself so that you and I could be forgiven for putting ourselves as kings in his place and ignoring the true king. You see, the gift of Jesus is as relevant to you and me today as it was to the Magi. Because through this gift, we can know God himself. Amazing, amazing truth of Christmas. The Magi respond to this gift by worshipping, by making Jesus their king. I wonder, how will you respond to Jesus this Christmas? I want us to just spend a few minutes thinking about that. We're going to listen to some music, and it's of the song "In the Bleak Midwinter." Feel free to close your eyes, and then Sarah's going to sing the last verse, which is a bit like a response, and after that I'm going to pray for us. So can we start that music? That'd be wonderful. There's going to be a few images on the PowerPoint you can look at. to put Jesus in the right place this Christmas, then echo this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for putting myself as king and other things as king and allowing them to rule my life. Thank you for your wonderful gift. Thank you that you came into this world, that you lived, that you died in my place, that you came back to life. Please come into my life to rule in a good way, that I might know you. By the power of your Spirit, I pray. Amen.